Spring is in full swing, and summer is just around the corner. A great time for a beach getaway at the Oceanfront Boardwalk Plaza Hotel in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware. Enjoy the best of oceanfront accommodations and amazing dining right on the beach, both with great views of the ocean and boardwalk. Enjoy a soak in the heated indoor spa pool, or book the adults-only concierge level and relax in the rooftop hot tubs. Book online at BoardwalkPlaza.com or call 800-333-333 Beach. Thanks to the Boardwalk Plaza for being the Bridge Podcast Network sponsor.
Maybe you found yourself in a social situation or at your friend's house, and they do something different at the beginning of their meals. They like to pray for their food. What's the deal?
You had it right till then.
So today we're going to talk about why do Christians pray for their food. I'm Mark Dickey.
And I'm Bert Miller.
This is the Why Do Christians podcast. Hey, welcome to the show. My name is Mark Dickey. I host the afternoon show on The Bridge radio station. My co-host is Pastor Bert Miller from Solid Ground Church. Bert, how are you today?
Well, Mark, gluten-free Dickey, I'm doing great because we're talking about food today.
All right.
I'm excited to talk about Christians and food and food and Christians and how we interact with our food.
Yeah. All right. I feel like you could have done better on that one.
I appreciate the constructive criticism.
I will strive
for a better thing next time.
All right, what's my real middle name?
Mark Frankfurt Dickey.
No, sir.
Okay.
No, sir.
All right.
Well, better luck next time.
Okay.
Yeah.
Could have been gluten-free then. All right.
Could have been. All right, so I felt like... It's not that I have a better middle name, but I expected more of you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, no, listen, we only grow through criticism. We only grow through...
Like, what's a classic prayer?
What?
What's like a classic, like, prayer for a meal?
I don't know.
Mark, nourishment for our bodies.
We thank thee, O Lord, for this bountiful harvest placed before us. Dickey.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
I just, gluten-free just seems like low-hanging fruit.
I thought it was fine. Man, we're off to a start on this one
now.
We're
off to a good start.
Okay, great.
So, why do Christians pray for their food? That's the topic today. And it's something that's normal. And I've been a Christian longer than I haven't.
Okay.
And... I'm actually curious what you've brought for us today, because I know why we do, but it's so culturally just normal.
Well, hold on.
Okay.
You say, you know why we do. All right, let's go here's, let's unpack that. Right.
So, okay.
You know, I was at the dinner table with my kids last night, and because I knew we were going to be recording this today. And so I just thought, man, you know, I don't want to like talk about this and my own family not know, you know? So I asked my boys, you know, like, we have a prayer every meal. We say, thank you, God, for this food and for our family. Amen. And I just said, hey guys, why do we do that?
Yeah.
And like, or which of you guys know? And both, but I don't know why they felt the need to do this. Maybe it's just school or whatever, but both hands went up at the dinner table. So I picked one. I said, why do you think it is? And he gave the answer that he assumed it was, and it wasn't.
Oh.
So I asked the other guy, why do you think it is? And he gave his answer, and also it was partial.
Okay.
And so, you know, I think there are lots of things where maybe like we think we know, but maybe we don't know, you know?
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah. I guess it has. I mean, if you think of the, Our Father prayer,
mm-hmm.
you know, give us this day our daily bread.
Yeah.
There's in the prayer, like the organization of prayer, when Jesus in Matthew 6 says that this is how you should pray,
right?
We're asking for the food, and so when you receive, you just say thank you.
Sure. Well, so that's actually a neat side note with that, right? The give us this day our daily bread, most likely what Jesus is doing is he's actually referencing the Israelites in the wilderness with manna,
mm-hmm.
where God would provide for them manna every day with the exception of the Sabbath, like they had to collect double on Friday. basically, but it was their daily bread. It was, hey, every day I'm dependent on God for my daily bread, the food that I have. And so when Jesus says, give us this day our daily bread, he's reminding that kind of attitude in prayer, which is like the Lord is our source. He's our provider. Yeah.
Okay. So, all right. So you didn't go, yes, yes, Mark, you got it. That's right. So I'm just like your sons. I sort of know, but I don't know.
Well, I mean, look, there are all kinds of reasons for why. So it could be individual in that way. Like, hey, here's why I do it. But in terms of maybe the heritage of it, that's a little bit different, I guess.
Mm. So a lot of people call it grace, like, oh, let's say grace before the meal. And I always kind of want to joke and be like, grace, okay, let's eat.
Yeah, yeah.
But where does that word even come from? Why don't we just say pray? Why don't we pray?
Yeah, you're right. Well, it's a weird thing to call it too, right? Because, you know, in our understanding of grace as Christians, it's certainly not what we do at the dinner table, right? Like most people, like when we talk about grace, we're talking about usually God's unearned forgiveness, kindness, salvation, that type of thing. So,
yeah.
And that's a simplistic definition of grace. And we did an episode on what grace is and isn't, but
which is funny. I wonder if anyone clicked on that. Why do Christians believe in grace?
Oh,
and maybe they thought it was a.
They've been along for the ride ever since, because that was a while back.
Well, maybe they thought that was an episode about praying for food.
Yeah, it definitely wasn't. So the reason we call it saving grace is the grace that we were just talking about. But the reason they say saying grace, it comes from the Latin phrase gratiarum actio, which kind of sounds like a Harry Potter spell.
It does.
Doesn't it a little bit? Gratiarum actio, expecto patronum, or what, right? Like, yeah. But that Latin phrase means act of thanks.
Okay.
And so, like, act of thanks.
Act of thanks. Yeah. Okay.
So that's where that comes from for us in English, is this idea of it's an act of thanks, that when I go to pray before a meal, I'm giving thanks to God for the food that I'm about to partake in.
Now, is that word from scripture, or is that word just a phrase that people came up with?
No, that would be post scripture. I mean, there's certainly precedent for it in scripture, but the Bible, at no point is the Bible in Latin, its original text. Yeah. It was a Greek New Testament, Hebrew.
That's smart.
Yeah. Yeah. Cool.
So, okay, then if it wasn't in scripture, then where did it come from?
Yeah. Well, the phrase isn't in scripture, but you certainly see people practicing praying before meals in scripture.
Okay.
Right. So in terms of like where that comes from, it's actually most likely older than our religion. Because you can find ancient cultures, and you think like way, way back in the ancient Near East and other places where they had like a culture that's based on agriculture or hunter-gatherer societies.
Sure.
Right? And so what people would do is they would pray and ask the gods to bless them with food because they didn't know if they'd have it or not, which is completely, you know, at least for most of us here in America, that's outside of our wheelhouse. Like, we just assume that we will have our next meal. Mm. But there are folks who that's not the case. Like, they're scrounging to get there, right? And so in these societies, what you would find is oftentimes there would be a prayer for the god to bless with food, but then if they had the food, they would thank the God for it.
Hmm.
Now, ours is a little bit different because we believe that God is our source and our provider, right? And so typically when we are like praying the blessing at a meal, we're not asking God to bless it because he's already blessed it, like by giving it to us. So this isn't a thing of like, Lord, would you one day feed me this food that's in front of me? I'm thanking God that I have the food in front of me. And this is, you know, like there's a great passage in James 1:17 where James says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights. So the idea is that God is the one who has given us the food that's in front of it, or in front of us. And yeah, with food, because it's such a needed thing in life, right? I mean, it's one of the basic needs that we have as human beings. We cry out to God and recognize our dependence on him. And so one of the reasons that we pray before a meal, if the food's in front of us, is we're thanking him for it. But also, you know, let's say you're in a place where you don't know where your next meal is going to come from.
Mm-hmm.
It's right and good to pray, Lord, would you, you know, bless me with food? Would you bless me with nourishment to eat?
Yeah. It sounds like I'm kind of hit by what you're talking about, how in our culture, we're, for the most part, we're in a land of plenty.
Yeah.
And even those who are poor, if you stand on the street corner long enough, you could get a meal.
Right. Hopefully. Yeah.
Hopefully.
Yeah.
And I think, wow, I really don't have to worry or think about, you know, if we didn't go grocery shopping 3 weeks in a row, there would still be a pack of crackers that I right. could pull out of the pantry or something right. out of the freezer. And like, do we need to change our perspective on how we think about food?
Yeah.
And I don't know. You're just blowing my mind right now.
Well, that's cool. Better than the intro name. Yeah. Like that. Now we're getting stuff that's good, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you know, look, there's the assumption that everybody here is good. Like, you know, starvation and scarcity for food is a real problem in many American homes. Most within our circle don't experience that. You know, if you're a middle class or
once again, though, like change, what a wonderful change of perspective, because you are absolutely right. Yeah, there are plenty of homes where there's nothing extra
sure,
in the cupboards.
Yeah. You know, like our church in years past have partnered with local schools to provide, you know, supplies for kids. And you know, there are plenty of kids, even in our local school districts, who the only meal they are guaranteed or meals they are guaranteed during the day is going to be the school breakfast or lunch.
Right.
And there's certainly lots of resources for folks if you know, they find themselves in that situation. But back to the idea of, you know, recognizing our blessing and God as our source. I think that's a good discipline to be in as Christians. Like, I thought there's a guy, his name was George Mueller. He lived in England back in the 1800s. And he, in life, what he would do is he would start orphanages for British kids. And there's this, one particular I think of in Bristol. And Mueller, was very much a man of faith. And there's a story of, I love this story, where one evening they were completely out of food in the orphanages, and they've got, you know, the orphanage, and they've got like hundreds of kids there. They're waiting to eat, and they don't know where it's going to come from. And so what Mueller did was he just had the kids go and sit at the tables with, you know, the empty plates, and he just said, all right, we're going to pray now. We're going to pray the blessing for the food. And he said, and the prayer was, Dear Father, we thank thee for what thou art going to give us to eat.
And there's no food.
There's no food. Okay. He says, so he prayed that. And no sooner had he prayed that there was a knock at the door of the orphanage. And it was a local baker from the town. And he said the previous night he'd been unable to sleep because he just felt convicted to bake bread for them. And so he had brought all this bread for the children, and Mr. Mueller was like, children, we not only have bread, but we have fresh bread, which is something they didn't normally have, right? So they're marveling at that. And he says, and the story goes, almost immediately, there was a second knock, and it was the local milkman. And he said, you know, listen, my milk cart, it's broken down outside. This milk is all going to spoil. I can't get it. So would you like it for the children here?
Wow.
So, you know, And Mueller sort of lived his life in this pattern of, I recognize that God is my provider. It wasn't that he was irresponsible with stuff, but sometimes things came up and his immediate need wasn't necessarily, or the meeting of it wasn't necessarily in front of him. And I think this is Christianity, that God is our provider. He's our source. He's the one who make, like, if I'm eating, if I have anything to eat, it's because he's provided it for me.
Yeah.
It's not my income that does that. It's not, you know, my affluence or what have you, it's that God has chosen to give me something, right? So, you know, like why do Christians, you know, pray for the blessing or practice praying before meals? We reference this idea that it's in the New Testament, and it certainly is. You can think about Jesus modeling this. Jesus, who is, you know, God's bread from heaven, like who teaches us, you know, give us this day our daily bread, and we find him praying and thanking God before meals regularly. You can think about the feeding of the 5,000. What's he do? He blesses the food before he distributes it. You can think about the Last Supper, where he gives thanks. Like, Jesus modeled this, and that's certainly true in the life of the Apostle Paul as well.
So you said bless the food.
Yeah.
Because we pray for the food, we bless the food. Are they the same thing?
Usually, yeah. Yeah, and we can get into semantics by what we mean about that. Blessing would be this idea of speaking towards it. Thanks. Yeah, like, Lord, you have given us this, and we thank you for it.
Yeah.
It's usually like when we say blessing, that's what we're talking about. It's this idea, like, it's a recognition of God's activity on our behalf in that instance.
When a person is blessed, it's sort of like they're something that was less became better.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you can see it that
simple,
way.
In its very simplest terms.
Right.
Right. Like, if I bless a person, you know,
right,
hypothetically.
Sure. Well, so, yeah, again, it's going to depend on the faith tradition and what's in the person's head.
Yes.
Behind it. So, for instance, some people, when we say, you know, bless the food, what they literally mean is that they're, like, sort of invoking some kind of divine favor upon it.
Mm-hmm.
I think most of us don't mean it that way. You know, like, if I'm at, oh goodness, I don't know, let's say I'm at the state fair and I see a deep fried Snickers, right? I'm not going to invoke divine favor upon it. I'm going to thank God for it.
Lord, would you make this food nourishing to our bodies?
Yeah, would you make it not bad for me? Well, that's not how the world works. But, you know, giving thanks for it is something else.
Is that just I might step on a toe here.
Ooh.
Or multiple toes.
All the toes.
Is that just kind of an embellishment that we put on our prayers? The making it nourishing? Like, is that one of those things that we just, it sounds good or it looks nice when we're saying it? Is that really what praying for food is about? Asking for God to make the food nourishing? Or is the food just, I mean...
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the person. You know, think of if you're in a space where, let's say, all you have is bread, or all that you have is maybe a vegetable or something like that. You know, like, actually, that'd be a good example. Think about the beginning of the book of Daniel. It's in Daniel 1, where Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, in Babylon, they refuse to partake in the Babylonian customs of eating unclean foods and what have you. And they say, listen, we'll eat just vegetables. And if at the end of this designated time, we're better, then let us keep doing that. Right.
Hmm.
Well, I mean, the just vegetables diet, probably wouldn't give the nourishment that they were used to. And yet God sort of supernaturally, improved them through it. And so, I mean, I guess there could be some kind of miraculous prayer and all that, but I think most of us, what we just mean is we mean, Lord, I thank you that you're giving me this. May you know, as I eat it, may it do what it's supposed to do. Mm-hmm. You know.
Okay.
Hey, Mark, do you like commercials?
I do.
Don't we all?
Wouldn't it be great if we had a sponsor for this podcast?
Mark, nothing would make me happier.
Well, you could sponsor this podcast by contacting us at podcast@wearethebridge.org. You could be a hot dog stand.
A cheese grater company.
You could sell furniture.
Or Wi-Fi.
Contact us at podcast@wearethebridge.org.
I think that's it. I think we got it.
So putting it all together, why is it good to pray for our food?
Well, I think, you know, there are some reasons for that. Some of them we've alluded to earlier in the show. First one I would just think is this, it's a good discipline to practice gratitude.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, how many of us, all that we see is what we don't have. Even though, like, we've been blessed with so much, but it's always like, you know, once I get this next thing, then finally I'll be content or what have you. But if we really believe that God is the one who gives to us, I mean, it's a good thing to turn to our Heavenly Father and just go, thank you.
Yeah.
I mean, I think sometimes we don't necessarily understand how blessed we are. Like, let me just give you some stats that come from, or that show how much we have been blessed here in the States, at least. You know, so for instance, right now, you know, I have in my hand a bottle of clean water, mm-hmm. right? Okay, most people listening to the show, you know, is all the water they're drinking going to be hyper filtered or, you know, what have you? Probably not, but they're not having to worry about bacteria or microorganisms in the water that they're drinking. And what you should know is that the people, like percentage wise, that nearly 1 in 10 people in the world don't have access to clean water, which is like 663 million. Another one is this, like right now I'm wearing shoes. Okay. Like seems simple enough, but you know that of the 7 billion people on the planet, 2 billion are plagued by parasitic diseases that could be prevented simply by having shoes. And by the way, 300 million of that are children.
Not to mention that I have at least 6 pairs of shoes.
Yeah. Yeah. Multiple, right? You know, when you go,
that was not a joke.
Like, let's talk about, not to be crass, but something that will happen as a result of eating. And that is your use of a restroom, mm-hmm. right? Okay. So 13% of the world's population, which is 1 billion people, don't have a flushable toilet. You know, we could talk about, like, you know, for you to download this show, you had to get on your smartphone, everything with that. But even like just to read the episode name, like the synopsis, okay, you're most likely able to do that because you enjoyed an education here in America that was free, that came to you just because you're an American citizen. And yet 757 million people on the planet right now, that's more than the population of Europe. That's 1 in 10 people are illiterate, can't read whatsoever. How about this one, Mark? If you're, this is a few year old statistic, but if your household, your annual household income is more than $33,000 a year,
whole house,
you are in the top 1% of income earners in the world. Okay. Wild. So, I mean, and we could talk about, you know, life expectancy and things like this. I say this to say sometimes because of, I don't have a boat, or I don't have a fourth floor on my house, or I don't have you name it.
Yeah.
Man, I'm lacking. And gratitude doesn't give us that option of that kind of pride of heart. It forces us to stop and go, no, you know what? I am blessed, and I've been given what I have by God, who gives me every good thing that's in my life. And so gratitude is a great practice. And something as simple as praying before a meal is a regular discipline where you can stop and be grateful. Another reason I think it's good to pray for a meal is something that my father did when I was a kid. He didn't just make meals. And it would frustrate, if I'm being honest, it would frustrate me when I was hungry. But he would actually stop, and he wouldn't just pray and thank God for the food. He would pray for people who were specifically on his heart. So like he would develop this tradition around the family dinner table, you know, or we thank you for this food, and we ask you to remember so-and-so. And it's a good thing to like pray with the family. That I'd be like, I just want to eat my chicken wings or what. Okay. But that's another great reason to pray, is you are moving your family in a direction that calls you to think outside of yourself.
Mm-hmm.
If I can give you another one, it's that, and this is one that we've said a few times already on the show, it disciplines you to remember that God is your provider.
Yeah.
That you're not your provider. And that means, by the way, that your tomorrow, this moment, your next moment, they're all in God's hands. He's the one who takes care of you. And so it's an opportunity to lift whatever concerns you have, fears, and place them in God's hand. And listen, as much as you need to eat, you get to stop and choose to remember that he's your provider. So this can be a soul care thing. And I guess if I could give just one last one, another good reason to pray before you eat, and I don't know that we necessarily think about this, it's a good witnessing tool. You know, we are living in a culture that is changing. And, you know, if you look at stats on percentages of what numbers of generations pray before they eat, certainly that you're seeing a decline where those who are, basically the older the person is, the more likely they are to pray before a meal, but the younger that they are, that seems to be reducing. I bring that up to say, it's not going to be uncommon for you to be around people at a meal table who don't pray before they eat. And it's going to cause them to stop and go, what's this all about? And Jesus says, listen, you are the light of the world, right? Like you're the ones who God has placed on the earth to point towards our Father in heaven. And so even that little act of, hey, this is something that we do differently, we recognize our God here, could be a way for people to just go, hey, what is your faith all about?
Yeah, and I guess my own challenge for myself is not to pray for our food because that's what we do, but to genuinely put myself in the posture of, okay, this food is in front of me. Odds are good there will be three more meals in front of me tomorrow.
Yeah.
But God, I didn't do anything to deserve this.
Yes.
It's your blessing on my life. Thank you for it.
Yeah. And you know, another good thing I think too, with being intentional with this is to make sure that the prayer before meal is not a thing that you have to get past in order to do the actual thing that you want to do, which is eat. Mm. Right. I mean, how many of us like, oh, I got to pray now so that I can do the thing that I actually want to do right now. And so that thing to get out of the way. But in recognizing this is why we do it, it gives you the more important thing. There's a reason that Jesus said when he was tempted, man shall not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. Right. Why did you say that? Because God's word, him, is way more important than the food that's in front of you.
Mm.
And Jesus disciplined himself as such that even when he was tempted to eat, but if you know that came through a wrong source, he wouldn't do it. And that's true. The Lord is more important than our food.
Mm. So there it is. Hopefully that answers your question, our question, why do Christians pray for their food? And maybe there's some... Actually, no. I think we did a good job, Bert. If we get a question about this one, well, hey, you didn't cover this.
We'll just throw it on some other episode.
Yeah, we'll put it in another episode. Okay. But if you do have questions for future episodes, email them to podcast@wearethebridge.org. Be sure to put why do Christians in the subject line, just so we know that it's coming to us and not a different podcast on the network. It's podcast@wearethebridge.org. Thanks for listening.